Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Yesterday, we attempted to start a message, A House Full of Glory. Didn't get very far, and perhaps today we can begin by sharing the passages of Scripture that will describe what God did in times past, but what I believe He's going to do in an even greater and fuller extent in the days ahead. I will read a few passages. Excuse me, I won't read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 14. But it's 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. And this relates to the time that after David had passed away, his son Solomon was on the throne, and he had the divine responsibility that had been spoken of prophetically through the prophet to David. David wanted to build a house for the Lord, but he was not allowed to do that because he was a man of war. And so his son Solomon was entrusted with this responsibility. And of course, it was a number of years in the making. But what we find here in 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter, the temple was completed. It was beautiful. It was grand. It was following the pattern that had been revealed by the Lord. David had spent a great time preparing precious artifacts and gold and silver and brass and all the things that were needed for the building and construction of the temple and the service that related to it in terms of the holy things of the altar and the Ark of the Covenant and all that. So let me just read a few passages from that chapter 5. Thus, all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated. All the silver and the gold and the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem, a divine convocation was called, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant out of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Now, let me pause here. If you remember that David did this astounding thing when he was a newly elected king over all Israel, as well as he had been 7 years king over Judah, when Israel united, one of the first things he did was to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God, into a tent he had erected, the Tabernacle of David. Of course, if you remember, the first time didn't go so well. They had it on carts, and Uzzah, as the oxen stumbled, put his hand against the Ark and died for his trespass. And so it was kept in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months, I believe, and they sought the scripture in terms of how the ark should be carried, and it was to be carried on staves on the shoulders of the priests. So the second time it was accomplished, but it was there all that time, 24 hours of ministry. Priests in their courses were sent to minister before the Lord in song and praise and worship. And so this was a big thing. Now they were taking the Ark of the Covenant, the physical or literal representation of the presence of God, was now to be taken to its, quote, final resting place in the temple that had been built. All right, so verse 3 says, wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the 7th month, all the men of Israel. And the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, these did the priests and the Levites bring up. And in verse 6, also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel, all of the people, beloved, that were assembled unto him before the ark, they sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. Now reading down to verse 11, going down to verse 11, it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Would you imagine what that sounded like? And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." This is what I want you to hear. For then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Verse 14, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Praise God. That 14th verse is the verse that has always thrilled my heart. Now, we know from Scripture that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. But the emphasis that is brought out here is that everyone was in unity. Everyone was in attendance. They were singing. They were praising. They were thanking God. And there was total unity. They were excited. They were thrilled. This was a place where God had covenant that he would be with his people. And as they worshiped, the power of God came down in such a way that the priests could not even stand to minister. I think of the prophetic words of Haggai, who spoke of the glory of the latter house. Now I'm relating to the church. Beloved, there is a time coming, I believe, that he is going to fill the house of God with such glory that we've never known or experienced before. Or there may have been little tastes here and there, little prophetic forerunners, if you will, of what God was going to do, but we've not experienced the glory of God as I believe the scriptures say that we are going to experience. If this was true under the old covenant, how much more shall it be experienced with new covenant believers as the end of all things draws to a close, the culmination of the times, the seasons, the plans of the Lord. Haggai talks about the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. He was ministering to God's people. There was glory in the former house, but he spoke of a time coming where the glory of the latter house shall be greater than all that went before. He would fill this house with glory. And beloved, I see there are two applications. One, not only in terms of the individual temple that we are, this scripture I just shared with you was that of a physical, literal house, which of course was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. There's no question there's only perhaps traces, a few stones left of that house in its former glory. However, what we see is that God has a plan. He is never defeated. He is going to fulfill and accomplish his word. And God is going to fill this temple not made with hands, the body of Christ. It speaks in the word of God about to be continually filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time experience, but it's an experience that is to be a continuous one. I won't take the time to read it, but that's an example found in Acts, the 4th chapter, verses 29 through 33. They were all praying together in one accord. And it says, the very place was shaken by the power of God, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, they had already been filled, but there was a refilling. And beloved, God is doing that in our lives. I believe many people God brings to this broadcast who are hungering and thirsting for a deeper experience in God. They are seeking God with a whole heart. They want to see His power displayed. They want to see signs and wonders and miracles, that God would move with a healing revival as He has in times past, just as He did demonstrating, you know, the Word of God was preached. The Word says, in terms of the apostles, the disciples, the early church, with signs following. And beloved, God is, we have not seen, we have seen in some measure, but I believe there is an outpouring of the Spirit of God we're going to see such as we never have before. And then, of course, also, it's the corporate setting when God's people come together in unity and worship and praise God. There's going to be a tremendous outpouring. And, you know, I'm just thinking of something I saw, oh, years ago, and I can't remember. Remember the brother, the minister, very well-established minister, maybe it was Lester Sumrall. He had a powerful ministry of deliverance and healing. He preached the Word, and he recalls one service that was unlike any one that went before or after. And it was the manifestation of the glory of God. He didn't pray for anyone. He didn't call a healing line. But he said the glory of God entered into that place. And it was, you know, it was just, it was not a, you know, huge hundreds and thousands of people. It was a small meeting. But he said the glory of God came down and everyone was healed. And he felt it was a prophetic foretaste of what God is going to do. He never forgot, and he didn't do anything to cause it to occur. It was God's sovereign move of His Spirit that the glory came down, and people were set free. Everyone was healed without hands being laid on them. Beloved, I believe this is the kind of experience we're going to have in the days ahead as we hunger and follow after the Lord, as we seek after His righteousness. We're going to see an outpouring of God. I'm stirred in my spirit, and I sense many of you know there's so much more as we press on into the things of God, where God's going to be faithful to His Word, and we will see the glory restored. Hallelujah. More to share tomorrow. I invite you to tune in then. The announcer will give our contact information, sharing your prayer requests. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.